All right, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're hanging in there with all the power outages. They're saying maybe more than 500,000 people here dealing with that. Kids off from school. So life's been turned upside down for a lot of you, and we appreciate you seeking us out for a little bit of entertainment and fun today for the next 2 hours, next 3 hours and change as we lead you up to Pirates baseball. And hopefully the Pirates give you another source of not frustration, but entertainment after what they did last night coming out of the storms, which was to, you know, Homer Simpson, when there was an episode about the spinoff of The Natural. He had his Wonder
Homer
Boy
bat.
Yes, that was struck by a tree, was struck by lightning, and then he used that. Maybe that happened in the movie The Natural too.
It did.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't called Wonder Boy. Didn't you just say that?
Yes, Wonder Boy.
The Natural is a pretty dark movie.
No, the book is way darker than the movie. The book is. It's not to get into a literary debate here to start, but yes, he took that bat and it turned him into a home run hitter. That did not happen with the Pirates last night. They were shut out for a MLB worst fifth time. Only the Rockies and White Sox have a worse record than the Pirates. The Pirates' record through 30 games in 2025 is worse than it was in 2021 and 2022 at the beginning of this rebuilding phase. In both seasons, they lost over 100 games. Mm-hmm. And they're worse through 30 games than they were back in those seasons when it was more acceptable or palatable that the team was losing a lot because they looked at it as a good thing because you could accumulate great young players by sinking to the bottom of Major League Baseball. They put out a lineup last night that did not have a single player in their lineup that was drafted by Ben Cherington. It's unacceptable. It's embarrassing. I want to know what you guys think is the most embarrassing aspect of this team right now. 412-928-9370. I want to open up the phones for people to call in and talk about it. Maybe they want to vent because they've got things going on with everything that happened yesterday, and they want to maybe get some catharsis by bitching about the Pirates. I think Tommy Pham is the most embarrassing part of the team right now.
That's veteran leader Tommy Pham to you.
That he plays every day in year six of a rebuild. When that was your big free agent signing offensively for $4 million, he's hitting .170. He hasn't hit a home run.
He's gotten a suspension handed to him.
He gives the franchise yet another black eye because of the way he acted in L.A. Guy bumps him when he's trying to field the ball in the corner. I get it. Fans should not make contact with players. Sometimes it's hard to tell for these guys if it's fair or foul. Either way, don't touch a player. Whatever. It was accidental. I don't think it was malicious. And the game picks back up. He tells the guy to go play with himself. And then that wasn't enough. He's telling the guy to come on the field and fight him. I mean, he's, what, 10 years or 12 years older than George Pickens? George does these things, and it's like, you know, his apologists will say it's immaturity. This guy's almost 40, yeah, and he's doing these things.
He was brought in explicitly to be a veteran leader, among other things.
And he sucks. And to go back to...
Who could have possibly predicted that he would suck,
well,
other than virtually
I'm happy you
everyone
brought that
not
up
named Ben Cherington?
Because, well, you get what you pay for. 90% of the time, that's true. They brought in a one-year outfielder, paid him very little money, and they're stupidly, even 30 games of the season, continuing to play this guy when he's got no future with an organization. You're not winning this year now. Okay, stop running this guy out there. That, to me, is embarrassing with a capital E. You've got the Reds in your own division. This is not a Terry Francona point. They brought in Austin Hayes and signed him. Not Key Bryan's brother. H-A-Y-S. Look him up. Austin Hayes, outfielder. Played for Philly, played for Baltimore. Signed with Cincinnati. Same exact deal. Right-handed, right-handed hitter. Left fielder, one-year contract, $5 million. He's hitting .365. So even in the Pirates' price range, there were guys out there to make their team better. And this nitwit GM couldn't find the right guy. And then this bozo manager who evil-eyed my ass on Monday, they keep playing this dude. Gorski hits a home run in his first game. Hey, thanks for the memory, kid. Pick splinters out of your ass for the next few games because we're going to play this jamoke. I mean, it's ridiculous. And maybe you guys have something worse, but that takes the cake for me. Embarrassing at 11-19 is running Tommy Pham's ass out there every day. I'll get off my soapbox. Go ahead.
I mean, it's fun when you get on the soapbox. You're on a roll. It's the old don't stop him. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? He's on a roll. Just let him.
And I got to hear Derek Shelton say, our problem is that we don't have Spencer Horwitz and Nick Gonzalez. Hey, Derek, newsflash, buddy. You're not talking about Parker and Stargell here.
For the record, Alex.
Sound like the cavalry's coming here.
Alex Verdugo's hitting like .333. He signed for $1.5 million before opening day for Atlanta.
Good point. Another good
Another
one.
Another guy.
412-928-9370. Go ahead, Chris.
So I took your, the topic in a different direction. I had a feeling you were going to isolate on one person you really were pissed off at. And I mean, I think Pham is a joke. I think the signing was a joke.
He should have been caught when he did that in L.A. We've already had enough.
When he started rolling the dice?
We've already had enough PRLs. You're going to act like that? Get the heck off my baseball team right now.
It's especially bad when you hear that he was brought in, among other things, if he wasn't going to be a great player on the field, a veteran leader in the clubhouse. So is the veteran leader teaching all the younger players,
yeah,
hey, it's actually
a great
cool
message.
It's actually cool to act like a complete jackass while you're also playing like hot garbage? Probably not. You know what my biggest embarrassment of this 11-19 start is, which as you said is two games worse than both 21-22 when they lost 100 games? That we're 6 years into the Ben Cherington era, and this is the roster you're putting out there. You said no drafted players from Ben Cherington's regime. That in and of itself, Pony, and I know that might be a cop-out to you, we're 6 years in. When did the Cubs start their latest tank to try to get good again? It was like 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. But now the Cubs appear to be good. Would you agree with that? Cubs appear
yes,
like they're
they
going
lead
to
the league in run score.
Going to win the division probably, right?
So the Cubs, I think the Pirates game against them yesterday was the first game all year they played against a team under 500, okay, and they're already in first place.
The
seven
Cubs,
games up on the Pirates.
The Cubs bottomed out, you would say. They lost the NL wildcard series in the bizarro COVID year. Then they went 71-91. Then they went 74-88. Two pretty bad years, you'd argue, right? Like no argument from you there? Then a pair of 83-win seasons. I'm aware that the finances are different, and now they're 18-12, and they are off and running on like almost a 100-win pace, like a 90-plus win pace through 30 games. The embarrassment here is that it's 6 years in to Ben Cherington's tenure, and this is where the Pirates are. And I do think the financial realities of the sport contribute to some degree. But most of my annoyance here, my anger, my frustration is reserved for Ben Cherington, who's done an atrocious job, who just failed upward into this job, who has done nothing but fail while giving very smug answers, I might add, about any time he's pressed on a player or players. He either falls back on believing in his process, or you just get the... And I'm not saying he telegraphs this and says it in so many words, he doesn't. But when I hear him answer questions about his team that he assembled, that's 11-19, I am overwhelmed with the sensation that in Ben Cherington's mind, the little voice that he knows he can't have say things into the microphone wants to say, you people out there just don't get it, what we're building here. It's awful, man. He should have been fired in any other rational situation. He would have been fired. I think he could have been fired here, and somebody convinced Bob Nutting not to do it.
So
that's the embarrassing part. We're 6 years in, Tony.
Among the Cubs' everyday players, only two of them are guys. Two. They have two free agent signings. They have Seiji Suzuki, and they have... And they have Dansby Swanson at shortstop. Everybody else, they've either drafted and developed or traded for.
Their best player by WAR so far, he's a two-win player already. He is setting them on fire, is a 2020 pick of the Cubs, 19th overall, that draft, Pete Crow Armstrong. He's the next guy that's just going to infuriate you in this division.
That's actually not right. He was traded from the
Mets
for
Javi
Baez.
I was looking at the Mets. No, I was looking at the Mets.
They found a prospect in another organization.
Right.
They dumped Javi Baez and got their best player.
Yeah.
Ben Cherington dumped Josh Bell
properly.
And Starling Marte and these guys
they
and got crap back. Got steaming piles of elephant feces
that
are wafting over from the zoo and hitting us in the face right now.
Very
That's
evocative.
What he got back.
Pete Crow Armstrong turned 23 like just before the season started. He's only 23. O'Neill Cruz is 26. He's a traded player that they got, but he's a first-round pick that's developed. Once they traded for him, Pony, he started to develop quickly, I might add. They've just got a team that looks like what you're supposed to look like 3 years removed from starting or 4 years removed from starting kind of a soft rebuild? Do they have more resources they can throw at it financially? Obviously, yes. But to be as bad as the Pirates are 6 years into somebody's tenure as a GM when yep. they were supposed to be tasked with rebuilding it requires way more than just a lack of resources. It requires the GM to just be absolutely atrocious at his job, which Ben Cherington is, compounded by the fact that his on-field manager is just as bad. That's what's embarrassing, Donnie. We are 6 years into this. They are worse off than when they started, and in all of that time, they drafted a guy who might be the best pitcher of a 30-year span in Major League Baseball.
Donnie, you do Bucco talk. You're out in center field with your buddies crushing icy light mangoes for a lot of games. What do you think is the most embarrassing aspect of the first 30 games of the Pirates season?
Well, it's going to be a lot fewer games in 2025, given the direction it's going. It's awful. This, I think, is even worse than what we anticipated. Not that we expected this team, or at least some of us. I mean, even I was a little bit away from the guys that had this team over 500, but there were a few of them that are in this building or, you know, members of this town, and, you know, the optimism that was, you know, now they have Skeens for a full year, we'll get over 500. This is even worse than what I think we even expected, the three of us.
I think I said they were going to win 74 games.
And I don't think they're reaching that. I don't think they're reaching 78, like I said.
No, FanDuel has their projected win total right now at 67 wins.
Yeah. They'll be lucky
67!
They'll be lucky not to lose 100 games again this year.
And I think we're going to get to about a month from now, and I know that Dan brought this up a couple of weeks ago. I think that's going to be the tipping point, and I think it's going to be the breaking point for at least Derek Shelton, where he said, yeah, they're going to get roughly 60 games in. I think the 60th game of the year is June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the final game of a series in San Diego, and they're going to end up losing that game and coming back home with a record of like 19-41, something just horrific.
If they're 19-41 and Shelton is only fired at that point, then somebody will have been literally asleep at the
but
switch.
Take it easy well, on us, says Derek Shelton.
No,
we,
I know.
We don't have Nick Gonzalez in our lineup. We don't have Gonzo.
We don't
He's
Spencer
a career
Horwitz.
250 hitter with an OPS under 700.
I think that's the part that makes me chuckle the most. Like, he speaks of guys like Spencer Horwitz and Nick Gonzalez as if they're going to get like
what is it?
Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire.
What is it? I know. The Bash Brothers come. What does it say that O'Neill Cruz has finally had the light go on and looks like he's turning into an elite offensive player, not in the NL or the NL Central, the
right.
whole league.
Good yeah. point.
Paul Skeens is exactly who we thought he was. To Ben Cherington's slight credit, Andrew Heaney looks like one of the best pickups of the offseason in starting pitching. And absent those three, there's nothing.
There's
almost.
A little bit of, a little nothing. Bit, with O'Neill Cruz and Paul Skeens of the Angels with Ohtani and
yes,
Trout.
Yes, the old bit. Mike You've Trout got, did something no one's ever seen before. The Angels lost to the Tigers 8-3.
You've got one pitcher who's an absolute superstar. You've got a hitter that's looking like one in March and April.
Finally,
and your team sucks.
Yep.
You're non-competitive. You've been shut out 5 times. And I got to watch this jackass, Tommy Pham, play every day. And they've got to tell us that one guy that's 27 who was a second-round pick and is hit at every level of the minor leagues is only allowed to play once a week because Huntington drafted him and this guy didn't. It's a disgrace. It really is. And I'm sorry I'm worked up today. 412-928-9370.
Last thing. I have to say this. I hate it when I'm right when I'm negative because I'd much rather eat crap for being negative and be proven wrong, Pony. I will say it again. I thought having Paul Skeens could be the worst thing that would happen to them because it would underscore all the other ways if he was really good and they were really bad that they have been deficient. And look where we are.
Always good to have the dogs, our canine friends. And the one is hit to the dogs. Home run for Swanson. 8-0.
Joe Block seamless right there. Mike. I mean, you got to credit where it's due. That was absolutely smooth as silk by him.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. What's the most embarrassing aspect of this Pirates putrid start? 11-19, worse than the beginning of this rebuild when they lost 100 games in back-to-back seasons. Tyler Kennedy going to join us in about 15 minutes. Does he want Rick Tocchet to be the next Penguins coach? Let's go to you, though. Full lines. We're going to start with Tyler in Oakmont. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're good.
I think the most embarrassing aspect is the fact that Charrington doesn't know how to acquire assets via trade, via the draft. Once we get these guys here, they seem to have no semblance of fitting into the game plan. Like last night, with nobody in the organization being drafted by Charrington. If you go further than that and look at the Pirates' top 30 picks, or the top 30 players right now, there's three guys that have scheduled ETAs of making it to the majors this year as hitters. And it's York, Cheng, and Billy Cook. And Charrington didn't draft York, and he didn't draft Billy Cook. So even the good bats that we have in the minor league system are years away. And it's a development issue. It's getting these guys here is an issue. And we're hoarding prospects in the pitching and middle infield positions instead of trying to acquire other talent, instead of running Tommy Pham and Canario out there every day.
Now, Canario's got to hit 5 home runs, Tyler. We need Canario to do big things for this team. Termar Johnson, 2022 draftee, first-round pick, top-5 pick by the Pirates. Pony, I know it's early. He's only 21. He's in Double-A, and right now he looks like kind of just a guy.
Charrington's good at one thing for the Pirates since he took over. He can find left-handed pitchers on one-year deals. He got Quintana. He got Tyler Anderson. He got Rich Hill. He got Andrew Heaney. He's good at that. I mean, if you want to pay a general manager $3 million a year, and he's good at finding pitchers who make about the same money on one-year deals, he's your guy. But that's really about all he does. The one thing I'll give him credit for was Skeens over Cruz, because I don't think 100 general managers would have made that move. So I tip my cap to him there. And that's where it ends. That's literally where it stops. And that's not enough. You can't hang your hat on that 6 years into the job. Here is Rich in Forest Hills. Hello, Rich.
Hey, thanks. Let me share my thoughts. I agree, Mo or Larry and Curly are to blame, but I'm putting the embarrassment on Mo. He bought the team in 2007 for $92 million. It's worth $1.4 billion today. That's a 15-fold increase. The team value in 2015 was $900 million with a payroll of $99 million. That's an inflation-adjusted value of $134 million in today's value, okay? The payroll this year is $90 million. So we went over a decade with a payroll of $134 million to $94 million. While the value of the team has increased tenfold. This house of cards argument that we're a small market team just doesn't wash.
Thank you, Rich. Have you seen House of Cards, by the way? I've tried to get Amanda into it a couple times to no avail. Also kind of tough in retrospect because I think Kevin Spacey has been proven to be
pretty bad dude. But like, doesn't it suck that I think if you try to take somehow Spacey the actor in a vacuum, he's pretty awesome as an actor.
American Beauty's a creepy movie. Have you seen that?
He's unbelievably creepy in Seven.
Oh, yeah. He's the bad guy in that, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, he's a very bad guy.
John Doe.
I mean, but he is a very bad guy, very good actor.
Usual Suspects.
Many Such Cases. Verbal, yeah.
Here's Vic in West Mifflin. Hello, Vic.
Fellas, what's happening, man?
Hi, Vic.
Can't tell you how much I love you guys.
Vic, are you
right
a guy
back
who
at
will,
you, Vic.
Vic, we love you. Are you a guy who will call in and your location is where you happen to be at that point in time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm in West Mifflin
man,
now.
Man, that makes you a caller chameleon there. You're not Vic in Hazelwood all the time. Maybe one day you'll be Vic in the North Hills if you're driving
Maybe
around.
Maybe you'll be Vic in Sewickley one day.
I'm always Vic pretty much up at where I see Pomp all the time. Central Diner. I'm up there like...
Oh, Vic and Robinson Township.
Congratulations on all your success. Exactly.
Hey, listen, man. I agree with you 100% on the Tommy Pham thing. Tommy Pham is such a chump. Because say, for example, if it was Joe Stocking and Ron Cook out there in the outfield and he wanted to fight one of them, like say Joe. Can you imagine Joe saying, holy cow milk, Ron, he wants to fight me. And Ron catching an attitude, jumping down there wanting to fight him. Because Ron probably would have definitely fought him. And one more thing.
Yep.
I had to call Shinda Robich and Fishman. And they deny me. So I'm going to call that dude, whoever is now on the buses and stuff, that weird dude.
All right. Thank you, Vic. That kind of took a turn.
He was trying to get out a...
We know where he was going with
a
that.
A certain joke, and he couldn't remember the name.
Yep. Time to talk to Tyler Kennedy, brought to you by Julian Gray Associates, SaveYourSettlement.com, comprehensive strategies to manage their settlements or verdicts following life-altering events, and by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. All right, Jim Rutherford and Rick Tocchet agreed that it was best for the Vancouver Canucks to move on without Rick Tocchet. So that makes him a coaching free agent, the former Penguins player and assistant coach who helped them win Stanley Cups in 2016 and 2017, Tyler. In your opinion, is that the best way to go? Should the Penguins hire Rick Tocchet to be their next head coach?
I don't think Rick Tocchet's the guy for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think Rick's been around long enough. I think he's probably going to look for more of a veteran team that's not trying to rebuild, obviously, with him with Philadelphia. I can see him going to Philadelphia. Obviously, he's loved there. But when I think of the team, or when I think of the coach for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Kyle Dubas is very good at this, he's going to find a developmental coach, a guy that's willing to develop these guys into a playoff team. Not the core guys, the next generation of Pittsburgh Penguins. He's done it. You know, when you think of the Toronto Maple Leafs, they got a guy that came from the OHL to the AHL to the NHL with Sheldon Keefe. And then when you think of his assistant coaches, the guy in Washington, Cranberry, or what's his name in Washington?
Spencer Carberry.
Yes.
Spencer Carver. He was an assistant coach, but another guy that kind of was a diamond in the rough. And I think he was a guy that was probably going to take over for Sheldon Keefe once his time was up. But I think Kyle Dubas is really going to find someone that's going to really be invested in developing these guys for the future. And I'm not sure if Rick Tocchet is that guy.
What about this? Since you said that and went in that direction with their next coach being a developmental guy, I keep naming this name, David Carl. He turned down the Blackhawks job. They were interested in him, the coach at U of Denver, TK. Everyone talks about him like he runs that program, like it's a pro team. That, like, to me, right. if I wanted to get a sign that the Penguins were serious about taking the long view and playing this like the long game, it would be... Yeah. We're signing that guy to a long contract and telling him it's okay if the first year or two stinks. What do you think about a guy like that?
I think he'd be a great candidate. I think, obviously, you heard he already turned down the job in Chicago. And Chicago's, let's be honest, it's a mess. But what I think he's looking for is security. He wants a team that's going to sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal that understands it's going to be a long process, because that guy, I think he's a great coach. He develops, but he's got 3 kids and he's in such a great situation out in Denver that it's got to be a really sweet deal with security for him to move his family to a place like Pittsburgh. And I think that's a great candidate, but what is the Penguins willing to offer a guy like that? And is he willing to go to a team like Pittsburgh? Like, the selling point for Pittsburgh right now is Sidney Crosby, right? Their next generation is guys that still have to prove themselves. Their core guys are Hall of Famers, but he has to understand he gets a piece of those guys at the end of their career, and then he gets to kind of shape the team how he wants it. But again, that's a great candidate for them. I just don't know if he's going to move his team from such a great situation in Denver to come to Pittsburgh.
Tyler, in general, there's a couple other college coaches that have been thrown out there. How do you feel about that transition? A guy who's used to coaching 18, 19, 20-year-old college kids to coaching guys in their mid to late 30s like Eric Carlson and Chris Letang?
I think it'll be tough. I think it's tough because those guys have... You know, they demand respect. They have a presence to them. Everyone knows who those guys are. But what I like about a guy coming from college, coming from, you know, some other place, the AHL, is they're there to develop, but they're there also to prove themselves that they're a good coach. They're full of energy. They're like a young coach. It's like getting a young player in a dressing room. I think they bring life to a dressing room, those young guys. So I don't mind that. I actually like it, because of that youthfulness, that excitement to be in the NHL, be a coach in the NHL. Some of these guys have been recycled in the NHL. They go to another team, it's like, you know, it's like another switch, you know, and it doesn't mean as much compared to a guy that gets that chance. So I'm all on board with getting a guy from college or the AHL.
Let me give you two more candidates exactly in that, one from college, one from the AHL, and I think these guys are different, TK, a little bit because they both played in the league. Jay Pandolfo, who's obviously BU's head coach right now, and then Marco Sturm, who is the Ontario Reign coach. That's the AHL affiliate of the Kings. Either of those guys kind of do anything for you? As far as, I know Pandolfo's 50, but they're both 50 or younger, so relatively young coaches still in
you would have played sphere. Against Pandolfo. Yeah. He was still hanging out in the league with New Jersey, Tyler.
Yeah, I played against him my last 2 years he was around. But, yeah, I think both those guys, I don't know much about those guys' coaching philosophies or what their approach is. That would be those interviews that Kyle Dubas does with these guys was probably pretty in-depth of their future, what their thoughts are. And it's probably pretty crazy, especially for those guys. When I played against Sid, he's not the same player he is now, and this is how I would treat him. This is how I would do it, But again, both those guys are very well respected. They understand being in that room and how it feels winning, being on a rebuild. That's one thing about getting ex-players to coach, especially when they're working their way up. They understand the dynamic in the room. They understand those guys that have those big egos or those guys that are future Hall of Famers because they played with them. And, again, Mike Sullivan, unbelievable coach, great coach, but he worked himself up from the AHL to the NHL being an assistant coach, and then he finally got a shot. So again, it just takes time for these guys, and those two guys would be another great two candidates that, if I think about my three candidates, those three guys would be at the top of my list.
Tyler Kennedy, Penguins Stanley Cup champion, Penguins analyst, on their coaching search just getting underway. Thank you, TK.
Thanks, boys.